water, wait in the water, children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Who's that young girl dressed in red? Wait in the water. Must be the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Who's that young girl dressed in white? That young girl dressed in blue, wait in the water. Well, it must be the children, they are coming on through. God's gonna trouble the water. If you don't want to believe, why don't you wait in the water? In the water, God's gonna trouble the water. I said God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. My name is Hannah Scorer. I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster, and I will be leading the service of the word. The music this morning will be led by Stephen Hollowitz, our music director, with special guest vocalist Denise Pelly and with Paul Stevenson. With me as ever is John Gardy, our wonderful sound engineer, making everything sound amazing. And I would ask that if you haven't already checked out our Facebook page or our website, that you go and do so. You can listen to old sermons there, you can check out old Sunday school videos, and you can see what we're doing around the church as we start to come back from all of this. But let's begin right now, and I would invite you to take a deep breath, relax, and prepare yourselves for worship. Almighty God, we are taught by your word that all our doings without love are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and all virtue. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. If you've been following the gospel the last few weeks in John, you may have remembered hearing something like this once or twice. I mean, I honestly feel like I've preached this quite a bit, and I was wondering when I started this if I was really going to have anything left to say. But lucky for you, I do, and it's about bread. No, it's not. I do actually think there's something really important going on in this gospel message, but it's not the obvious part of the gospel. I mean, we have here Jesus teaching, and he starts talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and the people listening, his disciples, they're called that, his disciples, and you know that they're not just some random passersby or people just checking him out. They're followers. They are explicitly called disciples by the gospel writer. So this is important. These disciples, they start listening to Jesus talk, and they complain. They don't like this message. They say it's too difficult to accept. Now, you might think you know here what is too difficult to accept. It could be that Jesus keeps bringing up over and over and over again the bread and the wine. The context here is that Eucharist is not a sacrament yet, so the people listening wouldn't be picturing the same thing that we are when we hear that message. That might be a little disturbing to them. But I don't really think that that's what it is. I think what's key to this passage of Jesus' disciples leaving him is really two words: abide and believe. Abide and believe. If you go back to the original language that the Bible was written in, and I did it for you, so don't worry, I'm not asking you to go find a translation. You find out that those words aren't exactly what they're written down as, but they're significant to this narrative. Jesus tells his followers that by eating his flesh, the bread of heaven, and drinking his blood, he will abide or remain, that's the better translation, in them and they in him. So he's asking them not only to follow, not only to listen to him, but to remain in him, to make him part of themselves, to embody him. And then Jesus talks about believing, and he's talked about believing in the last couple of gospels, which again is better translated as trust. He wants them to trust him. The gospel says he already knows that some do not. And you have to ask yourselves, can you think of any two things harder for people to do than to be radically open and trusting? I mean, no wonder people grumbled. They're weirded out by the bread and flesh speech. They're upset about the requirements that Jesus has been placing on them. They're upset about what it means to be disciples. They're complaining because this isn't easy. And this isn't just about rule following or being nice to one another. There's real action here. There's real sacrifice. This discipleship of Jesus is no joke, and he's asking them and us to do some really hard things. Because if we're going to be honest with ourselves, just because we're here in church this morning doesn't mean we're the disciples who stuck around. In a lot of ways, we hold the legacy of those followers who grumbled and walked away because we resist those commands of Jesus too. We've given up trust in salvation and redemption. We've forgotten the practice of resurrection, and we go in for trusting institutions and social structures and hierarchy. We remain in ruts of traditionalism and status quo rather than abiding in the radical and transformative expression of Christ's sacrificial love of humankind. We want easy and nice and a savior that wants nothing more of us than a few hours on our Sunday morning. We want to stay comfortable and safe. We want a gospel that validates our way of life rather than challenging us to be better, to take risks, to be vulnerable and compassionate and hopeful. We want to be rescued from our current situation, to have it just disappear without transformation. We don't want to have to lean into Jesus' message of faith in resurrection. But this is the thing, my dear friends in Christ, that is a reductionist approach to the gospel, and it's a reductionist approach to life. It's living small and scared of risk. It's living closed off to the wonder of creation and the amazing diversity of people God has made. It's living as a museum to the past, not the embodiment of Jesus' self-giving, self-emptying love. It is scarcity living, not abundance. And we are meant for abundance. Trust is hard. I know that. It fights against every instinct you have because we are ultimately very self-protective. Trust makes you vulnerable, and that's scary. Remaining in Christ is hard, that is true. Being his hands and feet in the world, shining the light of his love in dark places, that's dangerous. These are not easy commands. None of the gospel is. It feels like surrender, and that's hard to fall back into. But this isn't just the act of releasing, it's the act of receiving. We aren't surrendering who we were and what we are for something worse. There's no misery in letting go. There's just joy and hope and new life. This is a difficult teaching, yes. And there are many reasons to walk away and to be scared. But if we can truly learn to abide and believe, to remain and trust, this won't be an end for us. It will just be a fresh beginning. Amen.
Precious Lord, lead me on.
lest I fall, please take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness, when the darkness appears, and the night draws near, and the day is past, past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, please Lord, hold my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home, lead me home, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Let us join together in an affirmation of faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We who have chosen to serve the Lord, let us pray to him now. We pray for those whose faith is being challenged or undermined by inner doubts or outside influences. We pray for those who build up our faith and all those who strive to proclaim the gospel in a language that people understand. Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray for our torn and fragmented world, wrestling to equate the deep yearning for peace with the instinctive urge for gratification and power, that many may have the courage to walk God's way. Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray for our loved ones, for those who lift our hearts and those who turn our hair gray. We pray for those we instinctively warm to and those with whom there are frequent misunderstandings. We thank God for our opportunities of forgiveness. Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray for all who are marginalized, scorned, or rejected, for those isolated through illness or imprisonment, for those who feel that no one understands. Surround them all with such love that they may know how they are precious to you. Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray for those approaching death, that through our prayers they may know themselves accompanied with love on that journey. We pray also for those who have died, that they may come to know the full joy of heaven. Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. We thank you, Holy God, for making yourself known to us in daily living and sacramentally, in the breaking of bread. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.